Have your Bible and you go to church, you certainly ought to have a Bible. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's start, verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That immutability, that's the biggest word in the Bible. Everybody's always talking about the big words and the hard words, and that's the biggest word in there. Every other hard word in the whole Bible is somebody's name. Zerubbabel, you know, Artaxerxes. But all the rest of the words in the King James Bible are sixth grade English. So if you've got any education at all, the Bible is not too hard to read. Amen. Where am I at? Confirmed it with an oath. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, by which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need thy wisdom. We need thy leading. We need your understanding. I pray you would help us and enable us to preach thy word. May it speak to the hearts of the men and women assembled in this place on this day. Lord, I pray, I trust that we have the message that you gave us, that it's the right message and it's the right time. I pray, oh God, add your blessing to it. We'll thank him and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I read that passage, and of course, Hebrews 6 is one of those interesting places in the Bible, and we're not going to talk about any of that. I want this to be a very uninteresting passage. I want to talk to you, if you look down there in verse 19, it said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. So I want to talk to you this morning, bring you a message entitled, I've Anchored My Soul. The day and age in which you and I live, there is more insecurity and more uncertainness. People feel more adrift, less secure than we have in generations. We are a heartbeat away from a worldwide depression. Not just the United States of America, but the world collectively. Our economic market is not the only one that teeters on the brink of collapse. The Asian market, the European market are all in dire straits. Now, I don't want to preach on prophecy this morning, but I will give you an aside. If you've ever studied the book of Revelation, you know that just before the Antichrist is revealed, there are major catastrophic events that deal with the collapse of the economic system around the world. And because they are scared to death, the world clamors for a single leader to step forth and deliver them from the turmoil and the chaos into which the world has slipped. We could easily be on the front edge of that crevice. We could be starting down a slippery slope to which there is no bottom. And I'm not saying that we are, but boy, it sure could develop into that in a skinny minute. Amen. And at some point it has to, for the Antichrist to be revealed. The world will clamor for a leader and deliverance and stability, an anchor, if you will, to stabilize the world situation. And the Antichrist, who is bilingual and biracial, will step forward and deliver the world. I didn't say that to cast any dispersions on anybody presently running for office. It just happened to come out that way. But my point here is that the world is looking for stability. You may have noticed how jittery, how uncertain, how insecure Wall Street is, how the money market is. The least little thing that goes up or down, the market goes up or down 300, 400, 500 points. If there's a rumor, the market trembles. If somebody says something negative, the market dives until the thing comes to pass. There's total insecurity. There's a lack of stability in our world. Now, I said all that to get us down to our point. What the world's looking for is an anchor, security, steadfastness. We want to feel like that when we get up in the morning, everything will be the same tomorrow as it was today. We don't want to go to bed tonight fearful that when we wake up in the morning and turn on USA Today, that we're going to find that another major bank has collapsed, that we need another $1 trillion to bail us out. We don't want to find that the housing market has collapsed and our mortgages are not going to be any good. We want to be able to go to sleep tonight with the assurance, with the security, that everything will be all right in the morning. We need an anchor. We need something, we need somebody, we need something to convince us and establish in us a certain confidence, a certain security, a certain hope for tomorrow. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, that's not the only thing that needs an anchor. The world needs a religious anchor. Every individual who is possessed of a living soul needs an anchor. And so I want to talk to you this morning about that. I'm not overly concerned with the economic market and the collapse of the world system. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If it does, it does. And quite honestly, there's not much I can do about it one way or the other. I'm just going to trust Jesus Christ to get me through. Amen. But there is something I can do about the anchor for my soul. And in verse 19, it said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. So I want to give you five or six little things, maybe seven things here this morning, about an anchor for your soul. There's an old song we sing. It said, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Now the anchor for your soul is Jesus Christ. The Bible said there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You need an anchor. I need an anchor. I need an anchor for my soul. I got to thinking about anchors. This young fellow back here, they just told me a few minutes ago, he's joined the Navy. And the end of the month, somewhere along there, he's going to rush off to boot camp and they'll process him and pinch him and prod him and poke him and inoculate him and interrogate him. And you won't be the same fellow when you come home. And you're going to get homesick and then you got to get over it and there's people hollering at you. And I went to boot camp in January of 1962. I left Rock Hill, South Carolina. It was 70 degrees. I had on a short sleeve shirt, a Madras belt, a pair of lightweight slacks, and penny loafers. They said, it's cold in Chicago. That's where Great Lakes is, where boot camp was then. And so I dressed appropriately for the foul weather. I took my London Fog trench coat with liner. And went off Chicago, Illinois, and it was 16 below zero. The wind was blowing 35 miles an hour. The wind chill factor was 41 below zero. I like froze, slammed to death. Promptly caught double bronchial pneumonia, spent 40 days in the hospital. I was off to a whirring start. You have no idea, young man, how homesick you can get when you're sick and away from home. It is the pits. joined Navy, and went through boot camp. I'm an Airedale. I'm jet engine mechanic by trade and spent 20 years doing that. Well, 10 years doing that and 10 years teaching school. But spent a couple of years on a couple of different aircraft carriers. I went aboard the USS Enterprise, which at that time was the largest fighting ship in the world. It was the first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. I sailed with the first nuclear-powered task force in the world. The Bainbridge, the Long Beach, and the Enterprise. A light cruiser, a heavy cruiser, and an aircraft carrier. And that was a pretty awesome thing. Second day I was on the Enterprise, I'm wandering around. You can't imagine how big that thing is. I mean, you just can't imagine. If you're in a little hick town like Rock Hill, York, Clover, and you get on one of those big old boats, it's just, oh my goodness. It was party time. I was having time in my life. I saw stuff I never seen before in my life. And I didn't know they made anything that got that big. And so I'm wandering around, and I ended up in the forecastle. That's the front part of the boat. And that's where they keep the anchors. I got up there, and they had an anchor on each side up at the bow of the ship. The links on the chain are about this big. They're that big around. They weigh a ton or so a piece. The anchor itself weighs 40,000 pounds. And there's another 120,000 pounds of chain. And that's one for this side and one for that side. They got some anchors on that boat. Amen? If it need be to anchor the ship so that it can ride out a storm, they're ready to go. I mean, they just turn that thing into the wind, release that winch, and let that anchor go. And when that 200 plus thousand pounds on each side hits the ground, that big bad boy ain't going nowhere. Amen? You can ride out the storm. Now, I always took great comfort that we had those anchors. Because when I was in Vietnam for the first time, we went through a typhoon. The winds were blowing well over 100 miles an hour. They sent all the little destroyers and the destroyer escorts and all the cargo ships and all the tankers. They sent them back 2 or 3 days ahead of time to get them out of the path of the storm. They left us there. I've never forgiven my government for that. We just had to ride the storm out. And so they turned the ship into the wind and dropped both bow anchors. The winds are blowing 100 miles an hour. Everything is off the flight deck. All the hatches are closed. The hangar bay doors are closed. And the wind howled. And I'm telling you, we were up on the flight deck level by the island structure, the superstructure, which is another 11 stories above the flight deck of the aircraft carrier, which is 90 feet above the water. I'm trying to get you to understand how big this thing is. And the waves are breaking over the bow of the ship. The bow of the ship is 90 feet above the water. It was a terrible storm. But you know, we dropped those anchors, and that old boat just rode it out. It tossed, it turned, it pitched. We had to eat in our bunks. They couldn't cook. I mean, because the boat's just sitting there doing this and this. And oh, man. And guys were seasick, and it was bad. I mean, I thought there was aliens on the ship because there were so many people running around that were bright green. It was an awful, awful, awful time. But the anchor held. And after we endured the storm and the last vestiges blew on by and the sun came out and the clouds cleared away, the Enterprise sat there in the Pacific, safe, sound and intact. We hadn't been blown off course. We had not been blown ashore. We did not break up. Our anchor held, and we were safe and secure right where we were supposed to be. That's the day in my life that I fell in love with anchors. Amen. There's two things I like in the world. I like anchors. I like lighthouses. Amen. You ought to make them a part of your life. Now, I said all that to say this. I want to give you some things about anchors. Maybe you've thought about this. Perhaps you have not. But this is what I thought about when I got to thinking about anchors and what a blessing they are when you need them. Amen. First thing is this. In the passage that we read there, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul? I want to ask you this question. What needs to be anchored? What needs an anchor? You say, well, my life needs an anchor. Well, I'll agree with that. If you don't have some anchor, that is something you believe, some principle you guide your life by, you're going to be tossed to and fro. I understand that. But no matter what happens, win, lose, or draw, one of these days your body is going to die. That Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. Amen? You're not going to get out of this world alive. I want you to understand that. One of these days you will take your last breath, you will lay down and die, you will exhale, and that will be the end of it. Your body will assume room temperature. They will take you out back and put you to bed with a shovel. You are going to die. See? So no matter what kind of anchor you have for the soul, its untimely demise is only a matter of time. However, you've got a part of you that will live forever. You have a soul that shall never die. And one of these days, the body will fall and cease to operate, and then your soul will have to go and spend eternity somewhere. You better have an anchor that will take it to the right place. You need an anchor that will keep it from being blown off course. You need an anchor that will assure that it stays where it's supposed to be. And the thing that needs to get anchored is that soul. We need to make sure that it gets anchored in the right place. We need to make sure that it gets anchored the right way. Amen? And I'm here to tell you how that is and what that is. The anchor that you need is Jesus Christ. He is the anchor for our soul, which you saw there in verse 20 of our text. Jesus Christ is the anchor that settles you and attaches you and gives you security and keeps you in place on the road of life that makes sure that you end up where you're supposed to be. When you get anchored in Christ, you are anchored in God the Father, and God the Father is anchored up in glory. And if you get anchored in Christ, then your destination is certain. If you do not get anchored in Christ, then your future is not only the death and destruction of your fleshly body, but it is the eternal damnation of your everlasting soul. You better make sure that you get it anchored. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, commit the keeping of their souls to Him as a faithful Creator. I don't know about you, buddy, but I got anchored. I committed my soul to Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, He is alive forevermore. He died for the sins of the world. He descended into hell to pay our sin debt. And He was resurrected and ascended back to the Father. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen? And He is the anchor for our soul. I committed my anchor, my soul to Him. He's my anchor. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. I belong to Him, and He is my Lord and my Savior. He is the anchor of my soul. Not this church. I love Baptist Church. Somebody asked Dr. Bob Gray one time. He said, Dr. Gray, if you weren't a Baptist, what would you be? He said, ashamed. Amen. Amen. That's exactly how I feel about it. But I'm not trusting a Baptist church to get me home to glory. That's not my anchor. Amen. Amen. I'm a King James only guy. That means that King James 1611 Bible that you have in your lap, that is the only Word of God in English for English-speaking people until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the book. That's the one. That's God's book. That's the one God's got His hand on. That's the one that God has used down through the ages. That's the book. I believe that book. I love that book. But I'm here to tell you, the book by itself can't save me. It can tell me about the Savior. It cannot be my anchor. The God that it talks about in that book is the anchor. And so I've cast all my care upon Him. I'm trusting Jesus Christ. He's the anchor of my soul. So when we say what needs to be anchored, your soul needs to be anchored. The second thing is this. What does it mean to be anchored? Well, quite simply, and without going into a big thing, to be anchored simply means to be attached to, secured by, held in place by. Now, you see all these pictures? They're not pictures, whatever them things are. We got on the wall there. They're all anchored there. I found some little things that you can, they're about that big around, I guess, about as big as a dime. And you put a little hole in that sheetrock. You ever try to hook anything to sheetrock? It's really hard. You know, you buy them little plastic things, they call them anchor kits, and you put them in there and you screw the screw in it, and before you get the screw tight, they're turning. I hate them stupid things. I always hated sheetrock because you can't get anything to stay in it. Then I found some sheetrock anchors. They're a great big screw-looking thing. And you just push them in there and turn them, and they're big enough, they get enough bite, they really will hold. And that's what's behind every one of those frames there. They are anchored to the wall by that screw. Amen? Now, the pews you're sitting in, when we first put them in here, they were unanchored. And every Sunday, after everybody would leave, we'd have to come in and try and straighten them up and make sure there was the same distance at the same angle. And all. It was just a pain in the neck. I'll tell you what, a room full of unanchored pews is a pain. Amen? So after we put the carpet down, I hired a guy to come in here, charged us a couple $100, and they came in with this tool they got, and they measured it all out, and they anchored every one of them pews. And blessed be God, they right there. I mean, you can lean on them. You know, kids come in here and they do like this. They play and mess around. The pew not going anywhere. Why? It's anchored. It's attached. It's affixed too. Unless the floor moves, the pew ain't going anywhere. I love that. Amen? Now, I'm anchored to Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? It means I'm attached to. I'm secured by. I'm safe in. I'm a part of. And unless he goes someplace, I ain't going no place either. Amen? I'm as secure as the Godhead is secure. Not because of me. Lord knows. There ain't nothing good in me. I'm with Paul. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I said, Lord, I know that verse was written for Bob Hensley and Henry Rose. But unless something happens to him, unless the Godhead is movable, unless the Godhead can be overthrown, I'm secure because I'm anchored in him. That's what it means to be anchored. It means to be safe. It means to be sure. It means to be secured. It means to be a part of. Boy, I don't know about you, but I like security. Amen. Amen. I like knowing that I'm in him and he is in me, and as long as God survives, I too shall survive. I got anchored in the right place. I got anchored in the right person. I got anchored for the right reason, and my anchor will hold when all else fails, and when the world comes to an end, and when they stand before the judgment bar, my anchor will keep me attached to Jesus Christ, and wrath may come and the destruction may come, but I'm safe and secure because I'm anchored. What does it mean to be anchored? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible said, For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. To be anchored means to be safe. To be anchored means to be secured. Now, you know what an anchor does? An anchor keep you from being blown all over the place. When I was on the Enterprise, we went through a typhoon. They put those bow anchors down. We turned that ship into the wind, dropped the anchors, and we rowed out the storm. And the anchors held. And my anchor, which is Jesus Christ, will hold. When the day of judgment comes, when God's wrath is poured out on Christ's rejecting, God-hating world, my anchor will keep me secure. Third thing is this. where are we anchored? When you get anchored in Christ, where are you anchored? Now, you may have noticed, some of you folks who are saved, if you've been saved for very long, the storms still come and you still get knocked around. You ever notice that? Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful when you got saved, all your trouble's over. Everything's going to be good from now on. It's going to be smooth sailing and fair seas. Amen? Always going to have wind in your sail. Amen? Wouldn't that just be wonderful? But if you've been saved very long, have you noticed that's not how it works? You ever notice that you've got the same problems and the same troubles and the same tribulations and the same misfortunes and the same apprehensions that everybody else has got? Has it ever made you wonder, well, what's the point in getting saved then? Be honest. Has it? Well, let me tell you why it's a good thing to be saved anyway. One, when I go through those storms, I got somebody to ride it out with me. Amen? It's a lot easier to go through trouble when you don't have to go through it alone. They did a test on folks here a few years ago to see what difference companionship made. And what they did, they put the two men in a little booth, like a telephone booth, and they hooked electrodes with electricity in them to these guys. And then they had a test meter back there, and they put the first guy in, and they turned the current on, and he was supposed to holler when he couldn't take it anymore. They said, grit your teeth, squeeze your hands, let your eyes roll back, go nuts, but stand it just as long as you can. So they put this guy in there, they strap him down, and he gets all ready, they start cranking the juice up. And boy, pretty soon you can see his hands tightening up, and his eyes roll back, and his teeth are gritted, and he's smart, his muscles, and the veins are standing out, and he's shaking all over. And finally he hollered, enough! They had 95 volts on him. So then they took another guy and put him in the booth right beside him, and they could see each other. Had a glass panel. And they said, okay, now we're going to shoot the juice to both of you and see how much you can take. And they can see the meters. Now, this meter over here is a phony, and this guy ain't hooked up. So they start cranking the juice up, and the guy can see his meter, he can see the other guy's meter. And the other guy's sitting there, and this guy's gritting his teeth, and boy, his eyes are about to pop out, and his veins are pounding. And man, he holds on, he holds on, he holds, and this other guy just sitting there. And man, he gets up about 130, 135, and finally he said, enough! He went from 90 to 135. And this guy ain't hooked to nothing. This guy just got through it a lot better because he thought somebody was going through it with him. Amen. Amen. Listen, you can get through the world's troubles and the trials and tribulations of life a lot better when Jesus is with you. Amen. If he rides in the same boat, if he rides through the same storm, you feel like you're going to make it a lot better if you've got a little company. But I'll tell you what, if the storms of life destroyed your body, your anchor is not in this world. Your anchor is in the world to come. It's in Jesus Christ. And the storm that's coming is the judgment day of Almighty God. And one of these days, there'll be a storm you can't ride out by yourself. I don't care how hard you try. So you're going to have Jesus Christ to get through that storm. So you need to be anchored in Him. Where are we anchored? We're anchored in the haven of rest. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. See, when I got anchored in Jesus, I quit trying to get to heaven. I've entered into his rest. He's my haven of rest. I'm not struggling with it anymore. Somebody said, well, you're going to die and go to hell. Boy, I knew I was in trouble. Amen. And from the look on y'all's face, y'all was in a lot of trouble too. They said, a man that looks on a woman and lusts after in his heart's committed adultery. I said, oh man, don't even finish that one. And all the men in the company said, see what you're saying? I'm saying, boy, we all in a lot of trouble, ain't we? The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not one. All we have sinned, All we like sheep have gone astray. We're in a lot of trouble. So we set out to do things to make up for it. So, I told a lie. I'm going to die and go to hell. I've committed adultery in my mind. I'm going to die and go to hell. I stole somebody's money. I'm going to die and go to hell. I've broken God's commandments, and the penalty for breaking God's commandments is to perish. We're in a lot of trouble. So you know what we do then? We say, well, I'll start trying to keep the commandments, and I'll be good, and I'll give my money, and I'll go to church, and I'll be a good man. I'll pay my taxes. I'll be faithful to my wife. I'll take good care of my children. I'll try and quit my life. I'm going to do all I can and be all I can. And the idea is, if I'm good enough long enough, maybe when I get to the judgment, God will look at all my good stuff, and it'll outweigh all my bad stuff, and he'll let me in. Well, you're going to go to hell. I just want to let you know that. Quit wasting your time. If that's what you're counting on, just go ahead and live like hell, because you ain't going to make it. Amen? There's one name among men, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ paid the sin debt of the world. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But he came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. That was us. Amen. And so he comes, and when you receive him, you enter into him, and you're going to get to heaven not because of what you've done, not because of the life you've lived, but because of what he did and the life he lived. Now the truth is, whether you like it or not, in order for you to get to heaven, you have got to be 100% sinless. You have got to be, now listen to me, to get to heaven, you have got to be as righteous as God. We're in heap big trouble, dude. We're in heap big trouble. I've sinned this morning. They had a fella on television, made me mad, and you just don't know what I thought about that fella. Amen. Every time I see Chris Dodd, Barty Frank, I'm in sin. I just want you to know that. My thoughts are not pure and they are not holy. And if you don't feel the same way, shame on you. You ought to be living in sin too. The wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. But when I come to Christ, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. When I come to Christ and enter in within the veil, when I anchor my soul in him, God gives me, Romans chapter 4, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are covered. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. I got washed whiter than snow, and God said, I don't care what he does from here on out, I'm not charging it to him, because he's in the haven of rest. He is in Christ. I'm anchored. Boy, when you get in Christ, you don't have to work the way to heaven anymore. Now somebody's going to say, well, if I believe that, I'd just live like the devil. No, you wouldn't. Don't you ever read that verse over there where it said, the love of Christ constraineth us? You ever notice that the difference between a Pharisee and a saved man, you ever try to figure out the difference? You ever notice that some of the Pharisees live better than some of the saved folks? You ever notice that a saved man who's got his heart right and his mind right wants to please God and live right, and even though he's anchored in the haven of rest and he's going to get into the haven of rest by the merit of Jesus Christ and not his own good works, works just as hard as the Pharisee does? What's the difference? The love of Christ. One is working to get there. The other is working because he's going there. But when you look at them outside, you can't tell the difference. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looketh on the heart. So we're anchored in him. Now, why? Here's a great question. Why do we need an anchor? I think it's a great question. Acts chapter 27, verse 20, the Bible said, and no small tempest lay upon us, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Paul said he was on the boat and the storm came, a tempest, cyclone, Euroclydon, came, and they went days after days after days and never saw the sun. The wind blew, the rains came down, the ship was rocking and rolling. They were off course. They didn't know where they were going. They tried to drop anchor. The anchors didn't hold, so they struck the sails and the mast and just let the ship drive, and they ended up running into an island and busted the ship up. It was a bad day. Amen. And destruction was at the end of the day. And that's what you're like without Jesus Christ. You on a boat in the middle of a storm. The anchor, your anchor won't hold. You don't have any purpose. You don't have any direction. The wind's going to blow you wherever it will, and sooner or later, it'll drive you into something that will destroy you. I don't know whether it's a bottle, a pill, immorality, whatever it is, but I guarantee you, sooner or later, it'll get you. Why do we need to be anchored? Because life is filled with storms and uncertainty and darkness. And the path is not always clear. And sometimes what we need to do is get in a haven of rest, Jesus Christ, get anchored there, and let the storms blow over. Amen? There's no better place to face the storms of life than in the arms of Jesus Christ. Amen? Not only that, where do the storms rage? You need an anchor because of the storms. Where are the storms at? Well, the Bible said in Jonah chapter 1, verse 13, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. It said they tried their best to do right. They tried their best to deliver their ship. They couldn't overcome the storms. The storms were out on the sea. Now, you sail the sea of life. You got to go from birth to death, and you end up in eternity. You pass through that veil of death, the valley of the shadow of death, and you have to end up eternal somewhere on the other side. There are two ports on the other side, one called heaven and one called hell. And you better make sure as you sail across that sea with all of its storm that you're going to end in the right place. You need to put that anchor down now and get that thing settled. Say, why? Because out here on the sea, the storms will rage. I guarantee you, if you live and breathe, trouble is coming your way. Amen. You sit here this morning and say, oh, everything in my life is just fine. Me and the wife are getting along. The kids are doing good. Got a good job. Got money in the bank. House about paid for. Just bought a new car. Got a 401k. Great. But next week, next month, next year, you're going to have cancer. Your wife's going to have heart trouble. My wife and I have been saved 37 years. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss a lot. try to live right, try to eat right. We're fat, dumb, and happy. Got a good job, got a good church. The Lord's been good to us. Kids are doing all right. Marriage is in great shape. She goes to the doctor for a little heartburn, a little indigestion we can't figure out. The next day she's in the hospital, triple bypass. A month later, they have to go in and do it all over again, open her up. Took her a year to get well. You're talking about rocking your boat. You're talking about a storm in your life. So we wasn't ready for it, wasn't prepared for it, didn't anticipate it, didn't expect it, and sure as God didn't want it. But here it was. I'm talking about a hurricane. I'm talking about the wind blowing. I'm talking about the lightning flashing. I'm talking about the rain coming down. It was a bad time, a dark day in our life. But our anchor was in the right place. And though we were on the wide, stormy deep, and the tempest came, our anchor held within the veil. Ooh, I got to hurry. I'm just having such a good time. Last question, well, next to last one. If you anchor your soul in Christ and ride out the storm to the judgment, the greatest question is, will the anchor hold? Will it hold? If it doesn't hold, everything else you've done is in vain. If the anchor doesn't hold, you are ultimately shipwrecked, broken, and destroyed. The most important thing about that anchor is, will it hold? You know what? The Bible's a book of comfort. The Bible said in Jude, verse 24, "Now to him that is to able to keep you from falling." In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible said, "We who are kept by the power of God unto salvation." Jesus said, "You're in my hand is in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now one fellow said, "Well, you could jump out yourself." I mean, some people are just hell-bent on finding a way, ain't they? You're secure. If you're in Christ, the haven of rest, you're right in here, buddy. You're in God's hand. And you're kept by the power of God. You're not kept by the power of you. You're not kept by the power of your church. You're not kept by the power of your theology. You're kept by the power of God unto salvation. God did the saving, and God does the keeping, and God provides the security. When you are in Christ, you can relax. You are to live right and try to be honest and moral and ethical and be a good witness and have a testimony and get as many folks saved as you can and bring as much honor and glory to God as you can. I mean, your life ought to revolve around Him. It ought to magnify Him. It ought to exalt Him. It ought to extol Him. But I'm telling you, whether it does or not, if you're in the anchor, if you're anchored to Him and in the haven of rest, you're saved. Evermore. Let me ask you this one question in closing. Have you dropped your anchor? Where are you anchored? Are you drifting? Ain't quite figured out what life's all about? Don't have absolute peace about where you'll go when life is over. Just drifting. The winds blow you this way, you do this for a while. The winds blow the other way, you live this way for a while. You get tired of this, you try that for a while. Just driven to and fro by every wind. You know what you need? You need an anchor for your life. You need an anchor for your soul. Ladies and gentlemen, with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength, I recommend Jesus Christ as the anchor for your soul. One of these days your life's going to be over. You'll drop anchor for the last time in the flesh. I'm not talking about your soul now. One of these days it's all going to end and all your opportunities will be over. Now, when I was in the Navy, I spent 20 years in the Navy. I know something about it. I'm not the greatest student of the military that ever lived, but even a dummy like me can pick up something in 20 years. And we used to have what they called an anchor pool. And what that was is, like, we'd go to Hong Kong. When the ship arrived in Hong Kong Harbor, there's no place to tie up there. They don't have a pier big enough. And so you have to anchor the ship in the harbor and then take ferries from the ship over to the mainland. And so what they do, they have an anchor pool. And everybody puts in a dollar, and then they pick a minute on the clock. And if the anchor, because when they drop the anchor, they tell you the anchor is dropped, and they tell you the time. And if it drops on your minute, you win all the money in the anchor pool. Now, they do the same thing for anchors away. When will they pick up the anchor and say the ship is now underway? They put, you know, each squadron, each department, they probably 50 different ones on the ship, and some of them be worth $20, some of them worth $200 or $300. Okay, everybody puts a buck in it, and if you pick up on the right minute or if you drop on the right minute, you win what's in the kitty. And then everybody plays the anchor pool. But it was a gamble. Because you didn't know. And you know something? One person won and 59 people lost every time. You want to gamble? How about your anchor? Do you? You want to take a chance? One shot in 60? You want to take a chance? What if you die tonight? So, oh, I've got 10 years left. What if you die tomorrow? Well, don't you wish you'd drop that anchor today? Why don't you get anchored in Christ while you can? The Bible said, if a tree fall to the north, or to the south, or to the west, whithersoever it falleth, there shall it lie. All that means is that when you're dead, you're out of opportunities. You get saved while you're breathing, or you don't get saved at all. No second chances, none of this after-death stuff, no purgatory. It's now or never. Let me ask you this morning. Where's your anchor? Are you anchored? Let's bow our heads. Jordan, won't you come play this morning?